God's grace and His peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Our message for today will be based off of our Old Testament reading. But as we begin, let me first start by saying, my name is David, and I'm a Cubs fan. Especially now that the bear season is over, my heart is kindled anew that the new Cubs season will soon be beginning. But knowing the truth about any Cubs fan, having grown up on the north side of Chicago, my heart still realizes that this probably won't be the year. And the reason why this won't be the year, because all good, true Cubs fans know that the curse is still out there. The Billy Goat curse, that is. As urban legend has it, especially as told by the internet, one time, a long time ago, in 1945, during the World Series, during Game 4, someone brought in a goat, a special goat. The goat had a ticket, strangely enough. Got onto the field, not a big deal. People liked it. The goat even had a little bit of a sign on it. Sign pinned to it which said, "We got Detroit's goat," because the Chicago Cubs were playing the Detroit Tigers. Everyone had a good laugh. Goat took its seat along with its owner, and then all of a sudden, the owner of the Chicago Cubs had some problems with it. Wanted the coat removed because the goat smelled. Well, the goat and its owner were removed, but not until its owner said there will be a curse on the goats, on the Chicago Cubs, that they would not win the World Series. The Cubs lost Game 4 and eventually lost the 1945 World Series, prompting the owner of the goat to say, "Who stinks now?" Ooh. Strangely enough, this curse has been sticking with the Chicago Cubs and have not won the National League pennant or played in the World Series ever since. Last time the Cubs won the World Series was 1908, the longest drought in Major League history. But there was a way for the curse to be lifted. According to an interview with the nephew, the curse of the Billy Goat could only be dispelled by the Cubs organization, showing a true, sincere fondness for goats. Not just some publicity by bringing a goat onto the field, but the whole organization had to believe and love goats. Now, you might be saying, okay, Pastor, that's kind of interesting. How does this fit with Jeremiah? Well, there's a curse in Jeremiah. Not that Jeremiah cursed anyone. No, but Jeremiah is pointing out that we are the ones that are cursed. We were cursed ever since Adam and Eve first sinned in the Garden of Eden. We bear that same curse, not the Billy Goat curse, but a curse that binds us. A curse that restricts us. The Billy Goat curse, of course, restricts the Chicago Cubs from going to the World Series or even winning the pennant or winning the World Series. This curse of ours restricts us. It binds us to sin, death, and the devil. So we need to be freed from this curse. And strangely enough, the same way of freedom for us is very similar to the same way of freedom for the Cubs. To love goats. Not that I'm going to ask you to love goats, but to love the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, to love God. And you may say, Pastor, well, this is easy. Who could not love a Savior who is willing to die on the cross for the forgiveness of your sins? Who could not love and put their trust in a God who takes care of them, provides for them? Who couldn't do this? And the answer was, you couldn't until the curse was broken for you. You see, our Savior, when He dies on the cross for the forgiveness of our sin, He's the one who defeats sin, death, and the devil. He breaks this curse so that we could live forever with Him. Unfortunately, not everyone believes in what Jesus has done. They are still under that curse. The curse of sin, death, and the devil. So now let's pick up Jeremiah's words. He says, "Cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes his flesh his strength, whose heart turns away from the Lord. He is like a shrub in the desert and shall not see any good come. He shall dwell in the parched places of the wilderness, in an inhabited salt land. This description of one that is cursed is not a good description. It describes someone struggling with loneliness, struggling in a desert, struggling with despair. And fair enough, in our world of ours that is filled with sin, very often this is the plight of many people. And if we're only trusting in our own strength, as Jeremiah reminds us, our own strength alone won't do it. It will be shriveled up. But Jeremiah doesn't leave us there. He goes on to say, "Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord." This isn't some one-time event like bringing a goat onto a field for a special PR event to say, "The curse is lifted." No, this is a full-blown trust with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength to believe that, yes, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And notice how Jeremiah describes one who has been changed and transformed, connected to God. Verse 8, "He is like a tree planted by water that sends out its roots by the stream and does not fear when heat comes, for its leaves remain green. And it is not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit." So here's the scenario that Jeremiah paints. We're in the wilderness. There's one tree over here that is connected to our Lord, and it's doing great. It's doing wonderful. And then there's another one over here that's shriveling up and about ready to die. What's the difference? The one who trusts in the Lord is like a tree planted by the water. Its roots going out to the stream. It's interesting. This was not planned, at least not by men or women, but it was planned by God. The correlation of the hymn or the song that the choir sang, "Cause me to come." Interesting, the words of that opening line. "Cause me to come to thy river, O Lord. Cause me to come to thy river, O Lord. Cause me to come to thy river, O Lord. Cause me to come." It is our Lord who comes to us and feeds us, causes us to drink, as that hymn says, causes us to give us life, all because of what he has done. So let's talk a little bit about this water that our Lord provides that gives us life. There's a discussion of this in the Gospel of John, chapter 4. Jesus, speaking to a woman who is at a well, he says to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw water with, and the well is deep. Where are you going to get this living water?" And I love this question. You don't have anything to draw water with. Where are you going to get this living water from? You see, that's the way our world sort of looks when it is detached from Christ. It views Christ as some one of many religions. It views as Christ as saying, "Well, what good is this dead person?" But as our epistle reading for today says, Jesus didn't just die, he rose from the dead. And all who believe and trust in that resurrection also have life. There's something going on there. It's more than just regular water. Jesus describes it as living water. That when we are connected up to this water, as he says in verse 14, "The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." This is water that gives us strength. Our world, which is trying to undo things on their own terms, by their own resources, shriveling up and dying, this makes no sense at all. But for those who are connected to the source of this living water, to those who are connected to Christ, we now have that life and that strength. How does simple and plain, ordinary water change us? It does when it's connected with God's word. From picking up from Titus chapter 3, verse 5, "He saved us not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit. This living water is not just plain water. It's water that comes from God. For those of you who are baptized into Christ Jesus, you have been changed by this water. As the pastor takes ordinary water, but now connected to God's Word, as Titus chapter 3, verse 5 says, there is a renewal, a change, a regeneration taking place. We are now that plant that has been caused to drink from the river, that has been caused to drink from the streams. We now are changed. And notice what Jeremiah says regarding that change. A change within us, that means we do not fear when heat comes. Please notice it says when heat comes, not if heat comes. For the Christian knows that heat will come. Heat that destroys people. We live in the sin-filled world. But for the Christian who's connected to the living water, we don't have to fear. And when drought comes, when devastation in our physical lives come, whatever that devastation may be, we don't need to be anxious for it. Because notice what our text says. We will continue to bear fruit. Our leaves will continue to be green. God will give you the strength you need, whatever burdens you happen to be facing. There is no burden that is too great for our Lord not to feed you with His living Word. There's no burden that's too great that's going to cause you to shrivel up. There is no burden that's too great that's going to separate you from the love of our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. That's the difference between the two plants. That's the difference between one who is cursed and one who is blessed. The blessed one is now freed by the curse breaker, free to live, regardless what the world around us is doing to us, regardless of the pain that the world is causing to us, or the pain that we even cause ourselves because of our own sinfulness. God says, I will feed you. I will strengthen you. So we gather here today to be strengthened by the Lord, to be strengthened with His Word, to be strengthened with His own body and blood through this bread and wine. And we also remember when we were baptized, when God connected us to Him through ordinary water, but water with His Word. As Christians, we need to realize that our eternal life is a gift. Our physical life is a gift. Every ounce of strength that we have is a gift from God. And when sin and the effects of sin in this world try to invade that gift, God's gift will stand. Yes, there will be drought. Yes, there will be blazing heat. But God, through His living water, will still give us life. We may ask, well, what would stop us from drinking from the well of the Lord? Well, when Satan tries to convince us that we're not thirsty, or when Satan tries to convince us that the well is not a good water. Yes, Satan is alive and well, trying to distract us, to say you can do it yourself, to trust in your own strength. But then it's sort of like the cursed man who's been freed from the curse, going back to the curse. As sinful human beings, that is within us. So we ask the Lord to continue to shower His grace upon us, to continue to fill us with His joy, to continue to feed us, especially if we are thirsty, to give us drink, so that when the times of temptation comes in our lives, when we feel like we have no strength at all, and we feel like giving up on God, that the trickle of that living water will restore us, renew us, and recreate that faith within us, so that again we may bloom and blossom and not be under the curse of sin, death, and the devil, because we have been freed, because Christ has freed us. So as we begin to start approaching spring training, and my heart flutters a little bit, going, could this possibly be the year? My cynicism says, no, the Cubs are still under the curse. Whether you believe the curse or not, we'll see. Wait until next year. But for the Christian, we realize that even though our lives may be painful, even though we may be feeling the heat, and a little heat today wouldn't be too bad in the midst of our cold weather, we still have a loving Savior who frees us from the bondage of sin, death, and the devil to give us life and eternal life. So this day we come to drink, to be strengthened, and the Lord gives us His many gifts. In His name, amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.